So turn to Matthew chapter 16. I'll give you just a very, very quick review. We've been preaching through the book of Matthew on Sunday mornings. We've been at it for quite a while now. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. I've got a little heading in my Bible that says the cost of discipleship. You may have something similar to that in your Bible. But we've preached on step one, deny yourself. Step two, take up your cross. And we're going to finish it up this morning with step three, follow Christ. But I want you to look at the passage this morning right out of the Bible. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Here's what the Bible says. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till he see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Look back at verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We've got three statements there. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. If you remember, I'll try to jog your memory this morning if I could do that. Denying yourself was unloading the wagon of your life of the things that aren't supposed to be in the wagon of your life. Taking up your cross after you unload the wagon is to load the wagon with the right things. If you can picture this, we had a wagon up here a couple weeks ago. I didn't put it up here. That's not what the message is about this morning. We're going a bit different direction. But if you picture this wagon, we had it full of boxes. Deny yourself. That means unload it. All the things that I want, all the things that I want to do, all the things that I want to be, all the things that I want to have, I'm going to take those out of this wagon, and I'm going to say, God, I want you to be willing or ready or able to put whatever you want into the wagon of my life. Deny myself, unload the wagon, take up my cross. That is, I want to live my life for you. God, load it up. You put whatever you want into this wagon of my life so that I can pull it where you want me to go. So deny yourself, unload the wagon, take up your cross, reload it, or let God load it with the right things. But what about following Christ? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Unload the wagon, let God reload the wagon, and then take that wagon in the right direction. I could load up my wagon of my life and then go the completely wrong direction that God doesn't want me to go. That's what our message is about this morning. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, you've got this statement, follow me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, you've got a similar statement, and here it is, whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So you've got him saying, follow me, and then God wants you to find your life, live your life for him. And then verses 26 and 27, if we're talking about following Christ, we're talking about living my life or living our life for Christ. Verses 26 and 27, we might could say this, invest in your future. Follow me, find your life, invest in your future. Live your life so that it matters for Christ. I learned a song at our youth conference, I want my life to count for Jesus. What a powerful song that was. I learned it just a couple weeks ago, but that describes, I want my life to count for Jesus. Don't you want your life to count for him? So Matthew 16, verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you investing your life in? And the reason we understand is talking about that is you look at this in the very next verse. The Bible talks about Jesus coming back. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Now, these statements are not identical, but they go together. Follow me. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it, living my life for Christ, finding my life, and then investing in my future, in your future. I want to challenge you this morning to follow Christ. Deny yourself, empty the load, of everything that you desire, everything that you want, all things that you want to be, have, and do. Empty your life of that and say, God, I've got an empty life now. Fill it with what you want me to do with my life. And then I want to live my life for you. I want to spend my life going the direction you want me to go. That's what the message is about this morning. Going the right direction with the right load. I'm going to make a statement this morning, and I'm going to try to help you understand it. I've got some illustrations. I got some thoughts on this. But this is a very important statement right from the beginning. If you just listen right off the bat, get this statement. Your direction is more important than your position. I'm going to spend the rest of the message trying to prove that to you, but if you can listen to that and understand what I'm trying to help you understand, your direction is more important than your position. Position is a place. Position is where I am right now. Direction is where I'm going. Direction is where I'm facing. Direction is where I will be. Position is where I am, and position is important. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But what I want you to understand, if you're going to follow Christ, your position is important, but the direction you are going is critical. It's vital. Direction's more important because it determines where you will be in the future. So your position's important because it's where you are right now. If you were to take a snapshot of your life right now, okay, I know what you're saying. I'm sitting in a pew here at church, hoping it's done in not too long, right? Okay, wrong. You're sitting here in church, not hoping it's done in too long. You're just glad you're here. One of those, hopefully, is close. You're here right now. But what if we were to take a snapshot of your life? If we're to take a snapshot and put it on the screen, and this is where you are. On the journey of life, this is my place right here. If there's a spectrum of living for Christ on this side and not living for Christ on this side, my position is somewhere in there. I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I surrendered my life to Him, and I read my Bible this morning. I'm spending some time in prayer. So I guess right here is where I am. You've got a position. You have a where you are in your Christian life. But I want you to understand, while that is important, where you are is important, the direction you are going is more important because that's where you're going to be in the future. If I'm here today, that looks great. I could be going away from God. I could be going closer to God, but you don't know because it's a position. It's just right here where I am. My position's important, but the direction I'm going is more important. Did you like that move? I just came up with that right now. I'm trying not to fall off the stairs. The direction I'm going is going to tell me, it's going to determine where I am tomorrow. It's going to determine where I am next week. The position that you have, where you are is important, but the direction you're going is vital. And once the future gets here, it won't matter so much where you are right now because right now will be in the past. This is gonna hurt our brains here for just a minute. We should have brought like some brain wax or something to get our brains ready for this. Let me say that statement again because I want you to get this concept. Position's important because where you are right now. Direction's more important because it determines where you'll be in the future. And once the future gets here, it won't matter where you are right now, right here, because right now we'll be in the past. Did you understand that? Today is tomorrow's yesterday. So it's important where you are, but tomorrow, today's going to be over. You can be living for God right now, but if you're going in the wrong direction, it won't be long until you aren't living for God. You can have a great marriage right now, but if you're going the wrong direction, your marriage could fall apart in the future. Your position's important, but the direction you are going is more important. Let me give you a statistic that you're going to have to think about for just a minute. 100% of divorced people were married at one time. Okay, we laugh at that, but it's true. There was a time in their life where their position was married. We don't know if they're happily married or not, but we know that they were married. But their direction determined their new position. Some of them started out in love, but they went the wrong direction. So where you are is important, but where you are going is more important. Jesus said, follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The direction you go is critical. Position's where you are. Direction is where you're facing. Let me give you a couple thoughts about this morning. One of them is going to be direction is where you're going, which makes sense. But direction is also where you're facing. So position is right here. Position is where I am today. I'm picking the center as much as I can. Position is where I am. Direction is where my face is turned. Direction is where I'm facing. Am I facing the way that I ought to go, or am I facing the way that I ought not to go? Direction, position's where you are. Direction's where you're facing. Let me ask you a question. Where are you getting your information from that you're using to live your life? Who is influencing you? That's the direction that you're facing. You might be a Christian. You might be in church on a Sunday morning. Maybe you come back to church on a Sunday evening, which would be awesome. I'm excited about the message tonight. I really am. I've been reading through 2 Chronicles. There's story after story after story. And what I want to do tonight, we're preaching and teaching on how to build your own personal biblical standards. Tonight, what I want to do is help you to understand that God does bless right living. And I want you to see it from the Bible. We'll get to that tonight. I'm excited about that. So you can come to church on Sunday morning, come to church on a Sunday night, and maybe even go soul winning. That's your position, but where are you getting your influences from? Who are you looking to learn from? I could be in church. I could be faithful in church. And if I turn to, let's say, daytime television for my influences, I may not be here for very long. If I start listening to people who don't like God and people who hate God, and they are my influences, I may not hold the position where I am at for very long. So the question, where are you getting your information from? Who are you listening to? Let me ask you this question. This is incredibly important. Who's teaching you? Who are your teachers? Because that's going to determine your position in the future. Who are you allowing to influence you? Your position is important, but your direction is so much more important, because that's going to determine your position tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You remember Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. What a story it was. I love that story. The disciples are there. They're scared to death. The waves are huge. The wind is blowing. Peter looks out. The other disciples, they look out, and they see what looks like a spirit or a ghost walking on the water. It gets close enough. Peter starts wondering, I think that's Jesus. And he says, Lord, if that's you, call out to me, bid me to come out to you on the water. Let's just take a quick poll. How many of us would have asked that question? I can't raise my hand. I would have said, Peter, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Who? You can't go to him on the water. Maybe you could say, Lord, if that's you, call out to me and I'll swim out to you. But walk on the water? I wouldn't have thought of that. You probably wouldn't have thought of that either. But that's what he said. Call to me. If you want me to come out to you on the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter says, what was I thinking? But he does. He gets out of the boat and he starts walking to where Jesus was. Now you remember the story. As long as Peter has his face toward Jesus, he's looking at Jesus. He's walking towards Jesus. The Bible says, as long as he's looking towards Jesus, he's walking towards Jesus, he walks on the water. But you know what happened. The Bible says, as soon as he looks away, as soon as he looks at the Bible says, the wind and the waves, he begins to look at the circumstances around him. He begins to look at the trials. He begins to look at that next wave. We picture Peter walking on the water and it being calm, but it's not calm. There's these big waves. And I just wonder sometimes, was he walking uphill then downhill on the waves? Was he standing on the top of the waves? Somehow he's standing on the water. He's looking around. He gets scared and he begins to sink. Why did Peter begin to sink? Well, we know from the story it's because he took his eyes off Jesus. Now his position was pretty amazing. He was out of the boat walking on the water. Only two people that I know in history that have walked on the water, and that's Jesus and Peter. It's right here in this story. His position's incredible. Peter's out of the boat walking on the water. But his direction's about to make a difference. Which way is he looking? Is he looking straight to Jesus? And as long as he does that, he's walking on the water. But it's when he begins to look around, he sinks. Jesus was standing on the water without sinking. As long as Jesus was where Peter was focusing attention, Peter was walking on the water. As long as Jesus was the biggest influence in Peter's life at the time, Peter was fine. I'm looking at Jesus. I'm walking on the water, the right direction. When Peter turned away from Jesus, and began to look at the waves, he began to sink. What happened? Peter allowed the influences in his life to change. He was doing good. His position was great. His position out of the boat on the water, I've never been there. His position was further in his Christian life than I've ever been. Maybe you've ever, anybody have walked on water? Okay, than you've ever been. He was close to Jesus. He was almost within reach of him. He's standing on the water. His position's great. But his direction that he was facing when he decided to look, I don't even know if it was a decision. It was just he looks at the waves. He looks at the wind. He sees the storm. The Bible says that influence changes. Instead of looking at Jesus, he looks at the storms and he begins to sink. His position hadn't changed, but the direction of his focus had. The direction Peter was facing determined his success or his failure. This is so important. I hope you get this. It's a simple truth this morning, and we're only using the one text verse this morning. If you will get this, it will change your life. It'll keep your life from changing in the wrong way, and it'll help you to be able to live your life for God. Your position is important, and you, hopefully you're in a good position. If you're not, you can fix that. You can get that changed. God can help you fix that. Your position is important, but even more important is the direction you're facing. Who are you allowing to influence you? Before Lot lost his family to God's judgment of the wicked city of Sodom, I want you to realize what he did. You've heard of Lot. There's a couple of names in the Bible that can be used interchangeably with other words. One is Job, right? Job is very similar to Job. I've heard somebody say the Bible's got everything for you, even a job for you if you want that. Okay, so that's not what it's talking about, interchangeable. You've got the word Lot. If you're not familiar with the name Lot, you don't realize this is a man in the Bible. He's Abraham's nephew. Lot makes a decision, and I'm not going to turn to it for the sake of time, but I want you to, you know the story, most of you. Just use this in your mind as an illustration to understand direction really, really is important. So what happens in Lot's story? Before Lot lost his family to God's judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know the story, the angels came in, they said, God's going to destroy the city, and God sent the fire and brimstone and just destroyed the entire city of Sodom, the city of Gomorrah, other cities around it in the valley. Before that happened, Lot became a leader in the city. The Bible says he sat at the gate. I believe he was probably a judge. But before he became a leader in the city, he moved his family into the city. But before he moved his family into the city, the Bible says Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. He wasn't in Sodom. He wasn't actually even very far from where Abraham was. His position was not bad, but his direction, pointing his face and pitching his tent toward Sodom, which led to the direction of his family being destroyed. When Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, he had his two daughters and his wife with him. The rest of his family ignored him. He went to his daughters that were married, and he said, "You've got to leave. God's going to bring judgment on this city." And the Bible says that he was as one that mocked. They made fun of him. What do you think him? When Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, he left his daughters. We don't know how many there, but daughters are married to sons-in-laws there, maybe grandkids, I don't know. But he left them there, lost part of his family there. On the way out of Sodom, his wife turned to look back, and you remember what happened to her, she turned into a pillar of salt. When they got out of Sodom, the other two girls had some serious problems and became the mothers of the Moabites and the Ammonites, which caused problems for God's people for such a long time. When Lot left Sodom, he lost everything. But he wasn't planning to lose everything. He just pitched his tent towards Sodom. His position wasn't bad. It's just that his direction, his focus, where he was allowing to be taught from was bad. In 1997, that was a good year. That was the year that my wife and I got married. It was a good year, really it was. It's getting better every time, every year. But 1997, a young man, he's 21 years old, named Joshua Harris, wrote a book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Some of you have heard of that book. Some of you have read that book. I've never read the book. I've seen it. It sold over 1.5 million copies. That was 22 years ago. He's my age. He's 44 years old. He got married. He became a pastor. His position was husband, pastor, and best-selling author. That's position. That was a good position. for many years, 20-some years, he had that position. He came under a lot of pressure from people with anti-biblical beliefs. The direction of his face, the direction of his influence changed. The direction of his focus was on people, became people that were saying what people were saying to him and about him instead of the unchanging truths of the Bible. He wrote a book with some good principles. I watched an interview and he told a little bit of the principles that were in the book that he was trying to teach, and they were good. Stay pure till you're married. Don't date just frivolously, you know, that type of a thing. Marriage is supposed to be between one man and one woman for life. These are truths from the Bible. These were in his book. But he began to listen to influences from, you know, there's a lot of people in our culture that don't like that. They're anti-God, they're anti-Bible. He began to listen to those influences. His position was good. His direction, though, had changed, and he began to be influenced, allowing himself to be influenced by people that hated that position. He allowed those anti-biblical people to influence him. Just last couple weeks, he's been in the news because he said, "I am no longer married." He got divorced, and I am no longer a Christian. What would cause a person to do that? What would make a person that believed something so strongly at one point get to the point where he says, "I'm not even a Christian"? Let me share with you just a statement, just an illustration. I want you to understand the power of this truth. Your direction is so important. Unload, deny yourself, pick up your cross, let God put the load on, and then you've got to make the decision, I'm going to go the right direction, live for Jesus. Here's what he said, Josh Hare said this, "I've lived in repentance for the last several years." Talking about changing. "Repenting of my self-righteousness, my fear-based approach to life, the teaching of my books, my views of women in the church, and my approach to parenting, to name a few. But I specifically want to add to this list now, to the LGBTQ+ community. I want to say that I'm sorry for the views that I taught in my books as a pastor regarding sexuality. I regret standing against marriage equality, for not affirming you and your place in the church, and for any ways that my writing and speaking contributed to a culture of exclusion and bigotry." His own statements show that he's moving away from where he once stood. What is that? It's direction. That's what it is. So there's a position, and then there's a direction which will determine what your new position will be. Your direction is so incredibly important. He said this, "If you're interested in learning more about how my thinking has changed," you see direction, "you can watch the free documentary, I Survived, I Kissed Dating Goodbye." The only reason I'm giving you these statements, I want you to understand, someone who had a great position set his face in a direction that was not a great, good direction to go. And he ended up changing his position because his direction was more important than his position. And the only reason direction is more important than position is because direction tells you where you will be tomorrow. You will be next year. You will be in 10 years. Direction is so incredibly important. He said, "I've undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus." He said he's no longer a Christian. Position is where you are. Direction is where you're facing. It's who's teaching you. It's who you are allowing to influence you. This is why you've got to be so very careful who you allow to educate your children. This is incredibly important because position is good, but the direction of your influence, direction you're facing is so important. The statistics say that we're losing 60 to 70% of our young people who are, say they're Christians. Young people who are growing up in Christian homes, 60 to 70% of them leave the church, say they are no longer Christians once they graduate from high school, once they get to be college age. What is going on? Their position looks good right now, but what direction are they facing? Who's teaching them? Who are we allowing to influence them? This is huge. This is very important. It's a very important decision. Who educates my children? Who do I allow to influence me? Am I getting my influence from the Bible primarily? Am I getting my influence from Christian people who love God? Or am I getting my influence from ungodly people through the music I listen to or the TV shows that I watch? Or am I getting my influence and my counsel, my decision-making? Am I getting that from Facebook? Am I getting that from daytime television shows? The View, Oprah Winfrey's not even on there anymore. But that type of a show, is that where I'm getting what I'm learning from? I'd even go further and say from news channels. Is that where I'm getting, still unsaved people in a lot of cases, is that where I'm getting my influence from? I've got to be careful because that's my direction. That's where I'm facing. Now, the next thing is this. Direction is determined by the way I am facing, but it's also determined by the direction I am going, right? So position is where I am. Direction is where I'm facing. Position is where I am. Direction is where I am going. Are you with me here still? If you could take this principle, and after we finish going through it this morning, if you could begin applying it to the different parts of your life, this will help you in such a powerful way. Your direction will determine your position. One more illustration this morning. This came out in the news last week as well. Hillsong, I think it's called Hillsong United, it's one of the largest sources of contemporary Christian music. Some people call it CCM. Last week, one of their writers, Marty Sampson, made this post on Instagram. He said this. This is a writer for the Christian music that churches are singing all over the country, all over the world. This is what this writer for Hillsong said. I'm genuinely losing my faith, and it doesn't bother me. Like, what bothers me now is nothing. I'm so happy now, so at peace with this world, it's crazy. So what is his position? His position is songwriter and artist of contemporary Christian music. That's his position. A lot of people look at him and say, he's a writer of good songs. He's a writer of songs that are sung in churches all over the country. I don't agree with that. He's a writer of songs. That's not the kind of songs I would listen to or have in church. But that is his position, right? That's his position. But his direction is, I'm genuinely losing my faith. What's happening? What's happening? His position now is a writer of Christian music, of so-called Christian music. But what's his position going to be next week or next month or next year? If he's saying right now, I am a Christian writing these things, but I'm losing my faith. The reason I pulled up this illustration is he's in the middle of it right now. I'm losing my faith. My direction is away from faith. His position looks good. His direction is going to determine where his position is very, very soon. He's probably going to find himself saying the same thing that the other man said. I'm no longer a Christian. It's happening a lot. Why? Because there's some people who have a good position. They look good. They're in church. They grew up in a Christian home, maybe whatever it was. And then you can look at them and say they've got a great position, but their direction is wrong. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Direction is so critical. It's got to be closer to Christ. It's got to be following Christ. If right now you believe the Bible is inspired, the inerrant Word of God, let me ask you a question. How will you make sure that you still believe the same way in 10 years? I hope you believe that. I hope you believe the Bible is inspired by God. That means God wrote it. I hope you believe that the Bible is inerrant. That means there's no mistakes in it. I hope that's what you believe. But if you do believe that, how are you going to believe that 10 years from now into the future? I was talking to teens last night. A 15-year-old teen in 10 years scared them to death, right? Will be 25 years old in only 10 years. And they'll probably be married. They'll probably have kids, probably gone through some heartache. If the direction right now is not right, in 10 years, the position is going to be really messed up. You've been there. If you're an adult, you could look back and say, if I could have 10 years ago made these different decisions, oh, my position today would be so much better. So what about the Bible? You believe it's inspired. You believe it's inerrant. You believe it's the Word of God. How are you going to believe the same thing 10 years from now? You have to make sure your direction's right. If you listen to the popular voices of modern Christianity, you'll trade your King James Bible that's been used powerfully by God for the last 400 years in for a newer version. That's a direction. And that's what people are doing. And they're losing their faith. And they're saying, I don't even know if I'm a Christian anymore. If you actually study your newer version that you just traded in, you'll find subtle changes in doctrine. You'll eventually get to the point, like so many modern Christian leaders, where you believe that the inspired, inerrant Word of God only existed in the original manuscripts. And you'll have to admit there's no longer any original manuscripts. So in reality, the inspired, inerrant Word of God doesn't exist anymore. That's where you're going. My position, your position right now, whether it's good or whether it's bad, is going to change based on our influence. Now, if your position is on the Word of God doesn't change, then your position doesn't have to change. But if your position is on something that's changing, like the modern Bible movement, it is going to change to the point where you eventually likely will not even believe there is a Bible. Your direction will determine your position. I'll give you another example. If right now you believe that there's a God who created the earth, came to die on the cross to pay for your sins and rose again. Let me ask you, how will you make sure you still believe those same things in 10 years? You have to make sure your direction's right. If you go to a school or to a college where the teachers constantly belittle the Bible, they try to convince you the Bible's a myth or the Bible's an allegory, what are you going to start to do? You're going to start to doubt the Bible. And it's hard to stand up against professional debaters, even when you know the truth and they believe a lie. If you were raised in a Christian home and you go to a college where the professors at the college, I did this, I've been there. The professors at the college get up and teach and constantly belittle the Bible. And the required reading is communist manifesto type books, Marxist type books, anti-God type of books. And you let them feed that to you. And you believe the Bible right now. You believe there's a God right now. You believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins right now. You've trusted Him as your Savior right now. But you allow that into your life. And listen, I have nothing against a college professor. They did a lot of work to get there. But they're a lot better at debating than you are. My dad's a college professor, PhD scientist. I respect that position. But if they don't believe in God and they're going to try to convince other people not to believe in God, you're going to have a tough time arguing with that, because they know a whole lot more than you do. They're smart. How are you going to make a decision that I'm still going to be a Christian 10 years from now? You have to go the right direction. You have to make sure your direction is right. If right now you believe that God designed marriage to be between one man and one woman for life, how are you going to make sure that you still believe that in 10 years? I hope you believe that's what the Bible teaches. If you don't, that's fine. You can, hopefully, God will work in your heart and get to that place. But that's what the Bible teaches. Marriage is between one man and one woman for life. And if you believe that right now, that's good. That's a position. But where are you going to be in 10 years? Listen, the pressure is on. The pressure is on to change what you believe about that. What are you going to teach your kids? Maybe you got young kids, or you don't even have kids yet, but in 10 years you might. What are you going to teach them? Are you going to teach them what everybody else is trying to? Are you going to teach them what they're going to get from TV and from movies and from popular culture? And all? Are you going to teach that? Are you going to teach the truth? You've got to decide, I have got to make sure my direction is right. It's true that God created marriage, and He designed it to be between one man and one woman for life. There are a lot of couples whose position is married, but their direction is looking for other options. You may be here this morning. Your position right now, married. Great position. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's a great position. But what is your position going to be if your direction is looking for other options? Does that make sense to you? You'd be surprised at the Christians who are married but that are visiting dating websites. Why would you even visit a dating website if you're not going to go that direction? Your direction will determine your future position. Well, there's a lot more we could talk about that. We're not going to this morning. If you're following your heart, you need to change directions. If you're watching soap operas, you need to change directions. If you're surfing dating websites, you need to change directions. If you're looking at pornography, you need to change directions. You can't keep going the wrong direction and hope to end up at the right place. All right, we're going to wrap it up right here. The right direction is to follow Jesus. It's actually pretty simple. The right direction is toward the Bible. The right direction is to obey God. The right direction is to do what God commands. The right direction is not only to do what God commands, but also to do what God desires. You may say, well, God doesn't command against this, but over and over in the Bible, you see that He blesses people that don't do that, and he judges people who do that. You realize it's made not a commandment against it, but I can see that God doesn't like it, so I'm not going to do that. That's the right direction. The right direction toward Jesus. The right direction toward the Bible. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, unload the my dreams, unload my plans, unload everything that I want. Deny himself. Take up his cross. God, I want to do what you want me to do. Help me to do your will. Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. That is loading the right things, the right motives, the right masters, and follow Christ. Going the right direction with the right load. I've got three more sentences, and I want you to listen very carefully to these. One's got a hyphen in it, so it's a little bit longer. Right? Right now, you can be in the worst place that you've ever been in your life, but that's okay. if you're facing the right direction. I'm not just preaching this message to a bunch of Christians who can sit smugly and say, I got it. I'm preaching this message to all of us who have seriously messed up. If right now in your life you'd say, I am not where I need to be. I'm not in the right position. I'm so far away from God right now that I don't even feel His presence. I can't even pray. When I pray, it's like I'm not talking to anybody. I'm far away from God. Listen, you can be in the worst place you've ever been in your life. You can be further away from God than you've ever been in your life. You can be hurting, suffering right now more than you ever had because of your own decisions. But that's okay if you're facing the right direction, because your direction will determine where you will be. Your position now may be awful. You may be looking at it right now and say, I'm not pleasing God with my life. Your direction may be awful, but you could say, God, I want to do right. God, I want to please You. And if you will turn your face to God and say, God, I do want to follow Jesus. I do want to live my life for You. He can take a life that is messed up, take a life that is hurting, take a life that is ruined, take a life full of mistakes, and He can take that life, and if you will turn to Him over and over, I read it this morning, if you would turn to God, you'll seek His face. God said, I will seek you. I will find you. You draw near to Me, God says, I will draw near to you. Maybe you just need to turn around this morning. Maybe your life's a mess. Maybe it's just not going the right direction. Look, your position may be terrible this morning. You could change your direction. And as you change that direction toward Jesus, toward what the Bible teaches, God will change you. Maybe you need to come to God right where you are. Admit your life is in the wrong place and ask Him to help you change direction. He'll do it. He promises that. Father, I pray that You would use this message this morning. Lord, we are all in a position somewhere. There are some who are close to You, some who are not. Lord, there are some who everybody thinks are close to You, and in our hearts we know we really aren't. Lord, I pray that You would put in our hearts a desire to seek You. Help us to not deny ourselves. Take up the cross and help us to live for You. Help us to live our life going the right direction, a direction that pleases You.